Appreciate each one that's here tonight. We desire your prayers as we look into the Word of the Lord. Now, to be honest with you, I'm scratching my head a little bit as to why the Lord would maybe want this message here. I could see it in some places, but I don't know. But the Lord knows the hearts of each one. He knows the future of the congregation. I'm not here to hurt anyone, belittle anyone. Don't get scared when I say that now. Don't get all offensive here on me. But this is a little bit different. But at the same time, it's good for everybody, including myself. As I looked into the Word, considered what was on my heart, I want the Lord to help me to do exactly what is being preached in this message tonight. Let's go to, desire your prayer, let's go to Galatians, the 4th chapter. Why don't we look the Lord in a word of prayer? Our Father, we come to you tonight to thank you for being God. A loving, compassionate, great, wonderful God of mankind, of your people, of the world. Lord, tonight we need you. Lord, we need you in a desperate way. You see the burden we've had for days. Lord, you see we spent hours working on this. And we want to ask you, Lord, tonight that you'll have mercy and rebuke the devil. Devil, rebuke you fully in the name of Jesus. Lord, we want you to make this clear. We want you to bring out what you want brought out. We want you, Lord, to minister to all of us tonight, not just the congregation, but to me too. I stand in need of help in all of these lines that I'm preaching tonight. So, Lord, we ask you to help us out. We're going to thank you for doing it. We ask it all in the name of Jesus. Amen. Back in December, the 14th, I think it was, I climbed on a jet airplane, as I'm accustomed to doing, and I flew to the southeast. I was in about 3 hours of where we used to live in South Carolina. I was in Spartanburg, Greenville area. And I was there for mainly one reason. There was a little girl named Delaney. My granddaughter that was calling her grandfather, so to speak, to come see her. I'd not seen her since she was about 2 to 3 weeks old. And so we went down there, and of course, like I said, I went with one thing in mind, to hold her, talk to her, to play with her, and spend time with her. That was my main purpose of being there, and I'd done that. But one particular time that I'm thinking of in particular as I was holding her, she wanted her mother. Forget Grandpa. She wanted Mama. She wanted her mother. Above everybody else, she wanted Mother. I need you, Mother. My message tonight is, Mother, we need you. And it starts out here in Galatians 4:22. And it says, for it is written that Abraham had two sons. The one by a bondmaid and the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman was by promise. Which things are an allegory? For these are the two covenants, the one from Mount Sinai, which gendereth to bondage, which is Hagar. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answereth to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children, but Jerusalem. Which is above is free, the mother of us all. Now the church of God is a mother. We have a father. We have a bridegroom. We're the bride, but we're also a mother. And it's a very awesome responsibility to be a mother. And I'm naturally speaking here. And I could be wrong, but did you ever need your mother? Sure you did. Just like Delaney, and I don't know what the problem was right off, whether she needed a bottle or a diaper change or whatever, but she wanted mama. Forget me, she wanted mama. I'm going to tell you tonight, there's nobody can take the place of a mother. There's nobody really can take the place of a father. But the bottom line is, a mother is the one that carried that child, birthed that child. There's a special bond between a mother and her children. And mothers do things. They go out of their way in many ways to take care of that child. They're the one that basically raised that child. Today we have mothers that's teaching their own children. Mine took mine from kindergarten to 12th grade. Taught them all the way through. They've gone and done exactly what they wanted to do. Had no problems there. But the bottom line, a mother's a very important person to every one of us in here. I'm thankful that I had a mama. My mother taught me a lot of things. She spent time for me. My daddy did too. He helped me a lot. But daddy was a truck driver, so guess who I was close to? I was close to my mama. Because I spent a lot of time with mother. And a lot of training come from my mother. A lot of teaching. She had Church of God teaching. Church of God background. My daddy was a Baptist. My grandfather was a Baptist preacher on dad's side. But the bottom line was, mother was very, very important to us. She was important to you. And you and I, as a body of people, is important to everybody that's born into the Church of God, or into the kingdom of God. We're very important to them. And they need us, and we need them. And by that, you and I need to have some teaching, some stirring, and that's what my burden is tonight, of how to work with the children, so to speak. How to nurture them and how to help them. I'm going to tell you, what makes children feel secure tonight is love, affection, so to speak, and attention. Now, when I use the word affection, I mean it right now, nothing wrong. I mean, we've got all this stuff that's come out over the last several weeks and months of women that feel like men have done them wrong. I'm not talking about anything like that. I'm talking about pure and holy here. Righteous love, attention. And I'm going to say something to young parents here. The children need to see some affection out of you as a couple. They need to see the love. They need to see the effect. They need to see some kissing once in a while. They need to see some hugs and some round the waist and holding hands. They need to see that. I practiced that in front of my girls all of their life. And when they got old enough, I would hold them. Not a long time, but I'd put my arm around them and hold their hand and I'd protect them, watch over them. And I've told young fathers, I said, you need to show attention to your daughters. If you don't make them feel special, if you don't do what they need, they're going to go out somewhere else. They'll go to another man because that's part of being a woman. They want that attention. So, Father, show that attention to your daughters and show that love to your daughters in the right way now. Like I said, all of this is in holiness. I want that to be understood. I don't want nobody going away from here and saying, well, Brother Carl's teaching the wrong thing. All right, now then, the spiritual children, they need to see the love of you and I in the Church of God. All right, let's go to John 13 and 34. John 13 and 34, and let's move from there. It said here, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples if you have love one to another. Now then, the one thing that sets basically the Church of God apart is our love for one another. We always want to have that. We've got to have that. That's what makes the children feel secure. They feel secure when there's love there, when there are things that are right. They feel like this marriage is solid. They feel like this marriage is a marriage that they was going to be around, that they'll always be mama and daddy there for them, to help them, to guide them, to lead them. Well, the same way in the church. They need to know that this secure group of people, that we're here, we love one another, we're going to be here. We're not fly by night. We're 100-something-year-old organization, so to speak, or group, body. But the bottom line tonight is They need to see it between us, but they need to see it with them too. They need to feel their love. They need to feel that you want them, that you love them, that you're interested in them, that you care for them, that you want to help them, that you'll give yourself to them. They want to feel that. They need to see that. They need to know that. Children are tender. They're also sensitive, and they can be hurt. So they need to be treated tenderly, lovingly, kindly. Oh, tonight. And we must always remember that there's a devil at work in every way that he can, and we don't want to be ignorant of his devices. We do not want to be ignorant of his devices because he's always slipping in there. He'll say somebody, they don't love you. He'll tell somebody, oh, they don't care for you. They're just up there making a show. That old preacher, he has no interest in you at all. We can dispute that or tear that down by showing them love. Showing them interest. Showing them care, time, and interest. Oh, today, we want to show love to the children. We want to show them. They want to come to us because they feel our love for them. They want to come to us. They need help. They need security. They need counsel. They need encouragement. They need strength. And they want to see and feel that love. And if you reach out to them and give them that love and that time and so forth, let them know that you're glad they're there. Let them know that you want to help them. Let them know. And well, I'm not a preacher. You don't have to be. Everybody needs to show something. Everybody needs to show the children something. They're special folks. Listen, those are the father of the future of Church of God is what that is. I'm getting on the older side now. I'm not a youngster anymore. I'm half 65 years old. I may have 10, 15, 20 years. I don't know how much time I got. But listen, folks, I'm going to move on. I give my life to this thing for 40-something years. I preach it over and over. Crisscrossing this country and doing things for the Lord. And it's not me. It's been God. But the bottom line is I want this movement to go to the end of time. Praise God. I want my granddaughter to see it. I want my daughters to come back and be saved. I want the young people to know that I love them. I want the babes to know that I love them. I want the young ministers. I am so excited. And I believe the others are what I know they are. Every minister that's been in this movement for a while, we are so blessed to have young ones starting out. We hadn't seen this in a while. It's a great blessing. I'm doing everything I can do to help them. I'm letting them know my hand's on their back and I'm there for them anytime they need me 24 hours a day. You call, I'll respond if I can at all. Oh, today they need to feel that love. 15 and 11 of John. It says, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. How much did the Lord love us? What's God done for you tonight? Do you feel His love? Do you know He loves you? Sure you do. We love Him because He first loved us. I'm going to tell you, the children need to see the love. God called us. God spent time with us. He spent hours convicting me and working with me for months before I got saved. He has given me utmost time down through the year. He has spent multitudes of hours working and working with every one of us in here to get us where we're at. He loves us. He has given Himself to teach us. I don't know how He does it with all the people and all the saved people in the world. How God can do what He does, but I do know this. He does do it to me, and He does it to you too. Oh, tonight, He set a new commandment. What's new about it? Under the Old Testament was an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Under the New Testament said, love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and thy neighbor as yourself. That's the foundation of the Church of God. That's the foundation of this movement. That's the foundation of you and I. For you and I to love one another, and to love God, and to love one another, and to love our neighbor, and to love the babies and the young people and all those that will allow us to speak to help them to come on, praise God. We want them to get there. We want them to get there. We want them to be what God would have them to be. 2 Corinthians 12 and 15. I've got quite a few scriptures tonight to establish my points. Said preach the word, and I try to preach the word. And I will very gladly spend and be spent for you, the writer says. Though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. And I'll very gladly spend and be spent for you. Now here's something that the children need to feel. They need to feel that we will give to them. And I'm not money here. I'm not talking about money too, but our time. That we're interested enough to stop what we're doing and go. To help. To counsel, to encourage, to take them places or whatever it might be, to spend time with them, to go to their deals. There was something that my baby daughter was doing one time, and I thought, well, do I go to this or do I not? So I called somebody over to me, and I said, you've been a parent much longer than I have. What do you recommend? She said, go. Go. Let her know that you're interested in what she's doing. Spend time. So Becky and I did. We went. It means something for the children to know that Mama and Daddy's backing them. That they're loving them. That they're willing to spend their time, so to speak, in helping them. I'm going to tell you tonight, there is people that has been there for me in all of my saved life from the very beginning. And what nearly killed me, so to speak, or what nearly hurt me deeply, is one of the very ones that done so much for me is possibly lost today. He went the wrong way when he got older and got involved in a bad, well, not really in a bad marriage, but in a situation that tripped him up. And I felt for him. And some of them begged him to pray at the end. He didn't really want to pray. But he done so much for me when I was young. Him and his wife ended up being cousin to me. I ended up pastoring them as I got older and went there to pastor and work with them. We were close to them. They give themselves. They spent time. They spent effort to do things to help us to feel included. And I appreciate that. So love tonight is something that's very, very valuable to the children. It's something very, very valuable. You can't show too much proper love and attention to the children. Amen? You really can't do it. Don't say that the pastor will check on them if they miss service. You can call and you can check on them too. Another thing, when people come in that are new, I'm throwing this in. If somebody comes in, maybe you don't know them, and they're just dropping in. And Brother Dan is busy. There's been times when I've been pastor, especially at Guthrie. And it was such a big group back then. And they would maybe get me over here and get me pinned in, so to speak. I couldn't get away from what I was doing there. And there were people walking out the door wanting to speak to. I told the congregation, I said, you get to them. Don't always wait on me. Don't wait on the pastor. They want to know that the people of this congregation is interested in them. That's what will bring them back. So show them love. Show them interest. Go to them and let them know, I'm glad you're here. We want you here. Come see us again. Get their name and phone number if you can. Call them. There's been times that I've said, did any of you get to them? Yeah, I did. I appreciate that. Listen, the pastor can't do everything, hardly, folks. It's sometimes almost impossible, especially depending on the congregation. So the congregation has got to step up to the bat and got to help. So love is something that is going to help everybody. You can't show them too much love, too much interest, too much attention. Babylon is real good about that. And we need to do better than they do. So Lord, help us to show the love. And when I say the love, I'm talking about attention and calling and visiting and so forth. There's somebody that's in a certain congregation that they feel like that they're not shown enough attention. And I know what they're talking about. I've gone there for years. But I told them, I said, it's not just this congregation. I said, the whole world is getting almost too busy. We're just about too busy, folks. And I'm talking about me too, but I've always tried to put the gospel work number one on the list and keep it there. So Lord, help us tonight to show, to stop, to do. One time there was some, I got hurt real bad one time. It took me a while to get out of it, get through it, however you want to say it. And one person that knew of the situation, I thought would reach out to me, and they didn't do it. And I was shocked, because they knew what I was going through. They knew some of what was happening. And they knew the situation, they knew the people. And I thought, of all people, this person's going to call me, this person's going to write me, this person's going to send me a card, this person's going to come visit me. And they didn't do it. So their wife come up to me. No. Their wife come up to Rebecca Ann at a wedding. I believe it was. Yeah, it was a wedding. And they were talking, and they said something, and Rebecca looked at the wife and said, "My husband hurt at your husband." Why? And she told her. Well, she went back and told her husband that I was hurt. And he responded then. And he told me, he said, "I didn't know what to do. I didn't know what to do." This man was intelligent, folks. This man had years of experience that I didn't have. And he goes, "I didn't know what to do." Well, I'll admit sometimes we don't know what to do, especially younger people. And I'm talking about younger, some of us in here. Some of us got some age to us now. And they don't know what to do. And the Lord spoke to me. I was thinking about this later. And he said, when you don't know what to do, show love. Show love. Reach out to them. Show them love. If that person had called me immediately or even within a short time, it would have made a lot of difference. But they had to be told that I was hurt about the situation. And I got over it. I went on. And everything was fine. But tonight, show love. When you don't know what to do, show love. All right, let's pull another angle here. Let's go to Luke 6 and 36. Luke 6 and 36. It said, "Be therefore merciful as your Father also is merciful." Another scripture says in Beatitude, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." Now then, do you all like mercy? Have people had mercy on you? Did God have mercy on you? Sure he did. We wouldn't be where we're at. Is he still having mercy on you? Are you so perfect now that you never make a mistake? Never say anything out of turn. Never open your mouth wrong. Oh, I've done that so much. And maybe you have. But I'm too quick to speak sometimes and don't come out right. Poor Rebecca. Poor girls. I've had to humble my heart and apologize to them and ask forgiveness different time. Because I say something. Didn't mean to make it, because you're sharp. I'm sharp? Yeah, when you said sharp, it hurts. I think it was sharp at all. Other people can feel things. You may not mean it that way. It's not what you say sometimes. It's what they understand it. Let me see if I can say it better. I ain't saying that just quite right. In other words, people think you're saying things, you're preaching things, you're teaching things, or you're working at home with things and so forth, and you come up with something and sounds real good to you. But it's how they perceive it. It's how they perceive it that makes a big difference. And consequently, because of that, it's how they'll react to that. I was petting a dog one time. And I was just kind of petting it, patting it. And Rebecca goes, "I wouldn't want to be that dog." "What do you mean?" "So when you're patting that dog so hard, surely
be tender, Carl.
Be merciful, so to speak. Be tender.
But today, mercy is something that you and I need.
When people come to us and make mistakes, what do they want? They want mercy. They want to know that you and I are merciful. They ain't going to come to people that's hard-nosed. They're not going to come to people or want to come to people. They might have to in some religious group. But the bottom line was, what will pull them is your love and knowing that you'll be merciful, that you will be gentle with them and be merciful to them as they approach you and as they cry to you and they pour out. Get out in their box with them. As one man put it in grief, get in their bucket with them and listen to them.
Listen to them. You may not need to even say a whole lot. Sometimes if you'll just let people talk, they'll talk to their own self and their own answers and you won't have to say anything.
Or another thing I've learned out through the years,
have people come to me and say, we need to do this and this and this.
Brother Tony and Brother Mark Salmon. Brother Tony went to Brother Mark one time
and said, Dad, we need to do
people had come to me and said, we need to take care of this problem. We need to do this. We need to do that. And I said, well, I tell you what, let's do. Let's pray first.
And a lot of times the Lord worked everything out and I didn't have to do anything.
Get in your bucket with them. Listen to them. Show them mercy. Show them pity. Show them compassion. I'm going to deal with all these words in a minute.
But show them a lot of mercy. Let's pray. Let God work.
There was a situation in South Carolina one night. Somebody called us about 1 to 2 o'clock in the morning and said, we need prayer. All right, so we got up. We had a season of prayer. They were already on their way to the hospital.
Going down towards Trident, which is in Somerville area. And they're going down there and they, Lord, give them a touch as they were going. And they got to the hospital. And they went in the emergency room. After a while, the doctor came in and said, well, you know, how are you feeling? I'm feeling fine. Where's your pain? I don't have no pain. Asked another question, and he looked at her and he goes, what you doing here?
Listen, folks. Pray first. Move second. Go gentle. Say, let's pray. Now, I'm not saying maybe right then, but I'm talking about over a series of things. Have prayer. And tell them, let's pray about it. Help them to know God has been merciful to you and you're going to be merciful to them. We wouldn't be where we are. We wouldn't have what we've got if it wasn't for the mercy of God. God has been very merciful to you and I, and we need to show mercy to the children. They need to know that we're a merciful individual. All of these things that I'm going to bring out tonight needs to be a demonstration of our life and something that people look at it and say, I can go with them.
We want them to come to us.
You say, well, yeah, you do too. You want them to know you're loving. You want them to know you're merciful. You want them to know that you want to help them. If nothing else, to pray with them. If nothing else, to spend time with them. To nothing else, to wipe their tears. Nothing else, to listen to them. I had three comforters in my grief.
Those three comforters, one night I busted out bawling and cried for ever so long. And they just sit there and listen to you for several minutes. And I got through and I apologized. They said no. So we want you to come out of this right, Carl. That's why we're in this with you, so to speak. We want you to come out of it right.
Listen, those children that have made a mistake, those children that stubbed their toes and strained their knees, so to speak, they want you to have some mercy and listen to them and say, I love you and I want to help you. What can I do? Show mercy to them. Remember, you're only where you're at by the mercy of God. And by the mercy of other people, we need to be a merciful body. We need to be a merciful mother. Brother Ed Wilson told a story one time.
His daughter had a latex balloon, and it popped. She gathered everything together and put it over in a corner, or in a room, whatever. And Sister Bird goes, what you doing with that for? She goes, waiting for Dad to come home. Why are we waiting for Dad to come home? Because Dad's going to fix it. I had my daughters do me the same way. You know, I felt big, but then I felt not that big. We couldn't fix that balloon,
but God can fix anything. We can't do some things, but God can do all things. But we can be loving, and we can be merciful. We can do these things to reach out to them and say, children, I love you. I'm being merciful to you.
They will feel it, and they will know it, and they will respect it, and they'll want more.
Let's go to Mark, the 6th chapter. Pray for me. I don't want this to be harsh. I don't want this to be... Sometimes I've been told that I'm... how would she say it? Carl, you was too... I guess you'd say harsh. Carl, you was about too harsh when you said that. I don't mean to be harsh. I get into a burden sometimes. I know maybe it comes out that way, but I don't mean to be. 6 and 34 of the good book of Mark. It said, and Jesus, when he came out, he saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them, because they were as sheep, not having a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. The next thing I want to deal with is compassion. First Peter 3 and 8. Let's go there. Time together. First Peter 3 and 8. This is quite a challenge. It said, finally, be all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love his brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. Now he said that he come out and he saw much people and he was moved with compassion toward them. Children need to see our compassion. They need to feel that compassion. They need to feel that we're going to be a very compassionate person on them, toward them. It said he was moved with compassion toward them because they were as a sheep not having a shepherd. We've got to remember that people that have gotten saved, especially those that don't know anything about the Church of God or about religion at all, they've been without a shepherd per se all of their life. They don't know really what it's like. And so consequently, they need you and I to help them to see the great shepherd. They need you and I to point them to one that he has had mercy on me, or you, however you want to put it. He's had mercy on me, and the shepherd has helped me. He's guided me. He's allowing this to come your way. He's allowing this to deepen you and to help you to see things and to understand things and get deeper life and be very, very compassionate with them. Jesus was moved. There are different places in the scriptures where that he come upon situations, and what did he say? He was moved with compassion. He was moved with compassion on us. And he reached out to you and I. And he said, and he began to teach them. Lord, help us to teach the children. Mothers teach their children, whether they're teaching them out of a school book or whether they're just teaching them general things of life. The girls, they have to teach them how to clean house. They have to teach them how to wash the clothes. They have to teach them how to cook. One person made a statement one time that her mother had never taught her how to cook until she was ready to get married, and she gave her a so many week crash course in the cooking. Now, you might wonder about that. I have. I thought about that a lot through the years. I thought, why didn't Mama start way back here? My wife started cooking when she was 5 years old, 6 years old, whatever it was. She was real little. Why? Because her mother died when she was under 4. She said, girl, many times I caught a pan on fire and run out the back door with it, keep getting the house on fire. Different things. She said that happened, but my wife learned to cook. Mothers teach their daughters a lot. They teach their sons a lot. Every son needs how to know how to clean house. Every son needs to know how to cook. Every son needs to know how to wash clothes and iron clothes. and a few other things. Mama teach your boys just like your girls. Because I got news for you. If you get up and you lose your wife after 30 years, I'd be in a real mess today if I didn't know how to do some cooking. If I didn't know how to clean and wash clothes. Now, there's one thing I'm not good at, sewing. And I'm going to ask Sister Anita to help me out with that tonight when I get to her house. I'm going to ask her. I had a button pop off a shirt the other day. And I'm going to say, will you charge me to put a button there? I know she's going to charge me anything, but I'm just going to say, I need you. I wanted to have compassion on a man that lost his wife. Oh, tonight. Now then, let's go to Peter over here. First Peter 3:8. I want to read out of this translation here. Said, finally, be all of one mind. Be united. One thing that helps the children is to see unity in the parents and in the church. We need to be of one mind. One united mind, heart, soul, everything about us needs to be united. Having compassion one another. Love his brethren. Be pitiful and be courteous. Said, be all like-minded, compassionate, loving his brother, tender-hearted, humble-minded. You should be all united, sympathetic, full of brotherly love, kind-hearted, humble-minded. Finally, all of you have unity of spirit, sympathy, love of the brethren, a tender heart, and a humble mind. All right. Tender means having a soft or yielding texture. Expressing the softer emotions, showing care. Being tender with them. Like I said, Rebecca goes, sometimes she goes, you're not being very tender. I don't have her tell me that now. But she would say, call me tender. I didn't mean not to be. But she is looking on from a woman's point of view. Wives, you can help your husbands in things like this. And what I mean by that, if you've got people coming to you for counsel, a woman is a good balance to a man. That's why they put us together. Is a woman is a good balance for a man, and a man is a good balance for a woman, working together. My wife has helped me a lot through the years in being that balance. She was my recorder. She told me things and so forth. In preaching, so forth, to help me. And I appreciate that. So consequently, a woman can give a real tender side that maybe the husband is not quite as tender, but I want to challenge the husbands tonight to be tender too. They're human. They can be hurt. The children can be hurt. We don't need the children to be hurt. We need the children growing. We need the children saying, I appreciate what they've done for me. I appreciate the time that they spent in helping me. Oh, it said be tender heart, love, a tender heart and a humble mind. Always remember, folks, that you and I need to show humility, and I'm going to get into that later. But have a humble mind toward them, working with them. Oh, tonight, how tender are we? How tender are we? How compassionate are we? All right, let's go to the Old Testament. This is the only place in the Bible, in this message that I have in the Old Testament. Exodus, the 2nd chapter and the 1st verse. Well, and there went a man of the house of Levi and took a wife, a daughter of Levi, and the woman conceived, bare a son, and when she saw him that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could not longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. And his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done to him. the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along by the river's side. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the baby wept. And she had compassion on him, and said, "This is one of the Hebrew's children." Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew children, that she may nurse the child for thee?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." And the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee with thy wages." And the woman took the child, nursed it, and the child grew, and she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. She called his name Moses, she said, "because I drew him out of the water." Now, she looked down, the child looked like it was abandoned. She knew it was of the Hebrews. And she looked on it and she had compassion. What's amazing is the sister had the wisdom to do what she done, to take care of the baby that belonged to her brother. That was what was amazing. You and I need to have wisdom to look out and to keep our eyes open. And if there's anything we see that we can help, be there to help. Have discernment. Have wisdom. And so she was right there, and then just run up to the daughter and, "Shall I go and get someone?" "Yeah, I'll do that." And then the mother not only had her son back, but she also was getting paid to take care of the baby. Now, you can't beat a deal like that. That is a perfect setup. But then she brought the boy to Pharaoh's daughter, and she named him Moses. Folks, want to ask you a question. How many Moses is out there today? How many Moses can we have compassion on and raise them up, so to speak, and take them? Moses had a position that he could have had great, great power if he had wanted it. He forsook it all for God, and he went and he done what he done. Listen, folks, today we need more Moses, leaders, people that can lead people, work for people, and help people. We need the Moses, but it all started as a baby because the mama, the Pharaoh's daughter, had compassion. And it all ended up, here we are. And Moses had a part of our life, so to speak, way back under. He led the people. God took him and used him. God blessed him. God had Moses. Moses basically divided into 340s is what he was. And tonight, Lord have mercy, it all started because Pharaoh's daughter saw the baby and had compassion on him. And said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children. I know who this is. Lord, help us. It's one of their children, or their children, or their children." We need to have compassion. Say, "We love you. We want you. Come right on in here and be with us. Come right on in here. We want to help you." All right, let's go to 2 Timothy. Time's getting away. 2 Timothy here tonight. And I want the third verse, 2 Timothy 3 and 10. 2 Timothy 3 and 10 is what I want. Having compassion. Christ had compassion. We need to have compassion tonight. 2 Timothy 3 and 10 said, "But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, my purpose, my faith, my long-suffering, my charity, and my patience." Now this is Paul, and he's telling Timothy here that thou's fully known my doctrine. Well, not only did Timothy know it, but other people knew it too. They need to know who we are by watching our lives. We're an open book to people. They need to know our purpose, our faith, our long-suffering. I want to deal with long-suffering for a little bit. Have you ever had anybody be long-suffering with you? Do you and I need to be a long-suffering parent to the children? Yeah, we do. You're going to have to do it. You're going to have to bear and forbear, but you're going to have to be long-suffering. and working with them because they're the ones that they're going to make the mistake. Children make mistakes. Children are children. One person put it like this: there's more that is caught than there's taught. In other words, they're watching. And they pick up on things. You might not teach it to them, but they'll catch it. There's more that's caught than that is taught. So they're watching us. Help them to catch the good things. And look at us and say, they're long-suffering. I'll go to them. No, they gotta. There's people that I know that are pretty tight. There's not much give there. And if I want mercy and if I want long-suffering, I probably wouldn't go to them. I'd go to some others. Brother Leslie was my pastor basically from the second year of my spiritual experience until he died. I always called him my pastor. He has had to work with me. He's just done all kinds of things. He spent hours teaching me, spending time. He would come down to my service station where I work, or either when I owned one with Danny, and he would come down there and he would spend time, and he would teach me, and he would talk to me, and he would teach me doctrine, he would teach me scripture. We would converse, and I would have questions, and he would answer them. He spent hours, but he was very long-suffering with me. He knew I would make mistakes. I don't ever remember, in 40 years of working with him, don't ever remember him just chewing me out, getting on to me in a harsh way. That's what I'm talking about. He would get on to me. He would reprove me, but he would do it very lovingly, very gentle, very kindly. And he was long-suffering with me. And he would help me and work with me. Oh, today, the people need to know that we're long-suffering. Let's go to Ephesians 4 and 1. Ephesians 4 and 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, bearing, forbearing one another in love. Means patient, bearing lovingly with one another, patient too in bearing with one another's faults as charity bids, making allowances for one another because you love one another. Now there's another scripture in 1 Peter 4 and 8 that will go right in here. 1 Peter 4 and 8. It said, above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Fervent charity among yourself, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. For love throws a veil over countless sins. Love hides a host of sins. You and I can't forgive it in the fact like Christ can, but love covers those things. It's long-suffering with those things, helping you and I to work with that person, even though they're making mistakes, even though it seems like they've done it more than one time. The bottom line is, you're right there saying, I want to help you. Long-suffering helps you to keep going on and helping them anyway. Sister Natalie Allen sent Rebecca and I a engagement card. Said, I want you to take two bears into your marriage. Bear and forbear. Suffering and long-suffering. In other words, you go on and on and on and don't just stop. You got to quit that right now. Stop. No, I love you, I'm friends with you, I have battles like that and so forth. And do things and let them know that you're being long-suffering, working with them over and over and over. helping them to see that there is victory. You say, now, wait a minute, Brother Carl. You're getting a little bit too compromised here? No, I don't think so. If you think so, you talk to me after meeting. But the bottom line is the children are valuable. We've got to take care of the children. We've got to help the children. They've got to see our long suffering. They've got to see that we're willing. Even though they make mistakes, we're not going to cut them right off, throw them out in the junk pile. All right, here's another scripture. Galatians 6 and 1. To go along right in here. Galatians 6 and 1. It said, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such one in the spirit of meekness." Now here's the big part of it. Considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Considering thyself. We're still in the flesh. We're still human. And you and I can make mistakes too. You know, well, just cut them off. Brother Leslie told me a story, and I don't know the people in this situation, but there was a brother failed in divine healing and ended up in the hospital. And so several of them went to encourage him and to help him, and there was a sister in the group that just laid the hand over and over and over, and Brother Leslie said, "Be merciful here. You know, let's have mercy." And she wouldn't do it. She just kept pounding, hitting, and hurting. And Brother Leslie said, within a year, that sister had almost the identical same affliction come on her body and said she almost fell too. She almost went to the doctor too. Let me put that away. She almost done exactly what the other person did. Remember, we're human. We're in the flesh. We can have things happen to us. We can have temptations come, and it's only by the mercy and the grace of God that we're where we're at. We need to consider ourselves. Remember, in counseling, remember, in working, it said, in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Listen, folks, the devil hears everything we say, everything we do, and he knows exactly where he can hit us if he can and knock us down, or hurt us, or get us into trouble, if you want to say it that way. All right, let's go to 2 Thessalonians 2 and 7. 2 Thessalonians 2 and 7. No, 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians 2 and 7. I know that wasn't reading right. "But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. So being affectionately desirous of you," I love this reading right here, "we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because you were dear to us. We were gentle among you." We were gentle among you. All right, let's go to 2 Timothy 2 and 24. 2 Timothy 2 and 24. It said, "And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach and patient." Now listen to what they're saying. "In meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will." Now the devil is going to do everything he can to mess up everything he can. Remember the situation in Corinthians where that the man got caught up, I believe it was, in fornication? And Paul had to really come down on the whole situation. He worked with it. And times maybe he was a little bit hard on it. And then it goes on in there, though, in one spot, and he said, he needs to feel your love and forgiveness. He needs to know it. He needs to know it as a congregation. Because the devil can take advantage of this situation. That's the bottom line. That ain't exactly word for word. But that's the bottom line. He needs to feel it. He needs to feel your gentleness. He needs to feel, in other words, he's got himself in trouble. And he said here, the servant of the Lord must not strive. Now, that's talking about a preacher. Preacher, it is, but it's talking to you too. But be ye gentle unto all men, apt to teach and patient with them in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. If God peradventure will give them repentance, the Lord wants to give everybody repentance as long as they've never crossed the line, to the acknowledging of the truth that they may recover themselves. Lord, help us here that it means that the Christian minister is to be meek, mild toward all, with no disputation or not being disputatious and quarrelsome. You know, we can get in there and we get in a quarrel. The devil loves to get people into things. So consequently, being meek with them and instructing those that impose. And then, like I said, First Thessalonians 2, he said, we were gentle among you even as a nurse. And we were willing to have imparted unto you, so being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls. Oh, Paul had a love for these people that goes deep. Because you were dear to us. Because you were dear to us. Lord, help us that people feel that. They can feel. They can know. They can know if they come to us that we'll be gentle with them, tender with them, having a softness about us. And husbands, I don't know about you, I've exposed myself tonight, but men are the stouter, stronger, like a rock. That's what we're supposed to be per se. But Lord, help us to be tender, to be gentle. And like I said, Becky, tell me all kinds of things you got through in married life. Be tender, girl. Why? I never thought I'd pat the puppy too hard. I guess there's time I patted her too hard, too. But the bottom line is, Lord, help us to have a gentle, tender side to us that people know. They can receive. They can say, I know that they will be gentle with me. Brother Leslie was gentle with me. He was tender with me. Like I said, he would reprove me. And I'm not saying you can't reprove, but there's a spirit to do it in. Ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, in the spirit of gentleness, in the spirit of love. Let them know that you love them. Let them know that they are valuable to you. All right. Instead of reading a lot of scriptures, I'm just going to comment on the rest of this here. There's two other things that the children need to see in you and I as a parent. One of them is faith. And one of them is humility. We need to be known as a person of faith. One that can get our prayers through. One that people can look at and say, there goes a faithful man. They need to see us as being faithful to God, but they need to see us as having faith that can touch the throne. That can get our prayers through. That can get answers. A while back, Sister Elaine Dunn, had a request and called me. I don't know, maybe I called her that night. I don't know. But anyway, she had this request of a couple, and this man had been quite afflicted, and she had talked to me about it for a good while. Really wasn't worried on me spiritually. And he was having some real problems. He hadn't already slept in weeks. He was in a lot of pain. He couldn't lay down in bed. He was just sitting in a recliner, trying to rest best he could. That was wearing the wife out because she was trying to take care of him, and it was wearing them both down. He would look like he would die. So she called, and
was asking for prayer. He explained everything to me again. And while she was talking, I felt impressed of the scripture said, if any two of you shall agree as touching anything, it shall be done. So, got close to the end of our conversation. I said, will you do me a favor? Or will you pray with me, however I said it? I said, let's agree in prayer, you and I, for these two people. And let's see.
And my faith was mounted because of that scripture. And the Lord helped and had mercy and worked. And within about 30 minutes to an hour, the husband, after the phone call, they called Elaine or Elaine called them, and they go,
he said, I'm going to go to bed. I'm going to go to sleep. They haven't slept hard at all for weeks. And she said, okay. And he said, I'm going to go to bed and go to sleep. You're going to go to bed and go to sleep? Yes, ma'am, I'm going to go to bed and go to sleep. So he gets up out of the closet, he gets to the bedroom. He climbs in the bed. She follows right along behind him. Said his head was, he basically was asleep, now his head hit the pillow. And then she said, I'll lay down, and I went to sleep too. And they both slept for hours and hours.
It was the Lord. People will call you and I for prayer, and they know that by the workings of the Spirit of God, they can see the faith, they can see and know and understand that our prayers are going to get through and they're going to get some help. The children need to see that. The children need to see, they need to see our faith in God that will challenge and be in a contagious faith to them, and where they can say, they can get it. They can do it, and I can do it too. I can do it too. If they can do it, I can do it. So Lord, help us to have faith. All right, 1 Peter 5:5 in closing. I had several scriptures. Time's gotten away. 5:5 of 1 Peter says, likewise, younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Now that's good. But then it goes, yea, comma, all of you be subject one to another. And be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud, and he giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Now then, the greatest thing that the children need to see is our humility. One of the greatest things, not maybe totally, but one of them. Fathers, have you ever humbled yourself to your children and asked forgiveness? Mothers, have you ever humbled to your children and asked forgiveness? Well, that's my child. If you're going to teach them humility, if you're going to teach them love, you're going to have to humble once in a while and say, I shouldn't have spoke that way. I'm not talking about sin. I'm just talking about, sometimes I spoke, and he goes, you're being sharp. I am. Okay, I'm sorry. Brother Gordon said that in the new marriage of him and Sister Billet, I guess he felt like that she was to be subject unto him and he was the head of the house, which that's true. But said they run into a problem. He looked the whole situation over. He thought the only thing I can do is get out there by her and be humble too. And pray too. And get right with her. Be unified. And that's what he did, and what he did, the Lord blessed. Man, we can get ourselves so high that the Lord don't bless us. He blessed the wife and the husband ain't getting nothing because he's way up here and she's down here on humble out. The children need to see mamas, the mother of the church of God, being humble. They need to see it in our congregations. They need to see it in our services. There was a situation I found out happened in a congregation. And I don't know why it happened, but it did. So, there was
started into a song and started singing down. And it so shocked the old lady, didn't know what to do with it. So the congregation didn't know what to do. It caught them off guard. So the older brother, he went to the young one and he said, "Well, I asked you a question. Did you intentionally try to sing me down?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "That was right." And you know what? He should have never done that. So consequently, what happened is the young one had to show his humility by asking forgiveness of the brother and of the whole congregation. That helps the children to say, "He did it, I'll have to do it too."
If we make mistakes, if we make blunders with the congregation, there's going to be times we're going to have to ask forgiveness. We say something wrong, do something, I'm not talking about sin here, but just a mistake or whatever, there's going to be times we're going to have to say, "Hey, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that. I didn't mean it that way. It come out wrong." And the children need to see our humility. That will help them to see that they done it and I can do it. I can do that too. I can be humble too. I'm going to have to be humble. Give them the scripture. Let them know. Humble yourself therefore under the mighty hand of God that He may exalt you in due time. I got that scripture impressed on me when I was laying prostrate on the floor scrubbing the bottom of a sunken tub. I flat out. And I was getting down there. I either had to climb in to get to the bottom or I had to get flat out to be able to reach the bottom because it was sunk all the way down except the edge. And I was down there and I was cleaning that tub. And I cleaned this house a lot. I was cleaning that tub and the Lord said, "Humble yourself therefore in the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time." If we get down, He can bring us up. If we get down, He can bless us. If we get down, He can not only bless you, but He can bless all the children around.
There are ministers that's had to, and I've seen it happen, they've had to publicly humble their hearts to a whole group. Monarch. I've seen it happen at Monarch. I've seen it happen, I guess, other places too. Just flat say, "I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have preached it that way. I didn't get it just quite balanced just right," or whatever. That helps the children. Lord, help us to be loving, to be compassionate, to be gentle, to be long-suffering, to be full of faith, and to be humble. I appreciate your time, your attention. Pray for me. I want to be this to the children.